Well, I've got myself in about a 17-minute box here, so let's have prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we look in the Word of God, that the things we look at would be encouraging. Help us to be able to focus on the highlights of this message. Be with the children that come in to sing for us tonight, that we would be able to encourage them as I know they will us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the judges went through a cycle in the Old Testament where they'd be on top of everything. God was blessing them. Israel was being blessed. And then we'd have a period where they'd get in rebellion. God would then send provocation to them where they'd get taken into captivity or whatever. They would then begin to pray. And when they prayed and repented, God would send the judge, the salvation that would help to deliver them. And then they'd be on top of the game again. And then they'd do it again and again and again and again and again. We know that story. That's the cycle of the book of Judges. We are often guilty of the same thing. We say we're going to serve the Lord. Revival comes along. Good message. God touches our heart somewhere. But pretty soon, we just sort of let our guard down, and we sort of wander, and next thing you know, we fall in a pothole, and then we give in to temptation, and next thing you know, we're further away from the Lord, or at least just not serving Him like we said we were going to. It may not be deep sin, but pretty soon we're just not doing what we said we were going to do, and then God has to sort of deal with us. That's painful, isn't it? When God has to make the wheels fall off the wagon in our life, but then God is always faithful. If and when we return to Him, He always hears us. Aren't you glad? And tonight, I would like us to look at Matthew chapter 26 with that in mind. I'd like you to look at verse 40. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had gone in to pray and talk about, let this cup pass from me. And He left Peter, James, and John outside to pray. Pray for me, because I'm going into battle, guys, and you're my front line. Could we say Peter, James, and John are like His deacon board? Okay, these guys are right up there close to Him. And it says in verse 40, and Jesus cometh unto His disciples, and He findeth them asleep. And He saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now, you say, why did He pick on Peter? Go back to verse 33. Do you remember Jesus said, everybody's going to be offended with me. Before the night's over, before the cock crows, you'll have denied me 3 times. Peter blurts out, everybody else will, but I never will. Look at verse 33. Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Peter just is the loudmouth of the crowd. Do you notice it says, so likewise said all the other, amen, 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 that's right. We'll never deny you, Lord. And so here Jesus speaks to that spokesman. Here you said just a few seconds ago you wouldn't deny me. I asked you to do one little thing, and you couldn't even make it how long? 1 hour. Boy, does that speak to me. How many times I've determined to try to be true and real to the Lord, but it can't make it very far. Bottom line, we know we can't do it in ourselves, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. A lot of people love Philippians 4:13, but practicing it's another thing. Walking in the Spirit, living in the power of Christ. You and I cannot be victorious in our own Christian life. Jesus gives some advice here. Now, look if you will, please. Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So let's just look at through some things. I'm going to sort of speed up more than I normally do. Let's look at the condition of these three guys. First of all, they were disciples. They were His disciples. These weren't the people out in the world. This was the people on Wednesday night prayer meeting crowd. This was the close disciples. They sort of picture us, don't they? So their condition were that they were disciples. The second thing that we notice, He came to them. He had a need of them. And they weren't prepared. The The Lord tells us to be ready to serve Him. Just to be ready. Watched and waiting and ready. I've talked to different men that work in different ladies, work in different jobs, and the job sometimes is not that difficult. They have periods of what you would say are down times where they can sort of be sitting there doing, but when they get a call, they need to be ready. A policeman, a fireman, an ambulance driver, the people in an ER, they may have big periods where they're just sort of getting their scalpels clean, making sure the fire truck's gassed up. But maybe they're just not doing a lot of other. But if they're not what they're doing, what they should, if they're not where they should be, and the alarm goes off, then somebody dies. Then there's peril. So we see people that were His disciples, and He had a need. There was a special need at that hour. We know what Jesus' needs was. He was getting ready to go through the eternal, biggest struggle that's recorded in the Bible. And He turned to them and they were sleeping. We look at the third thing, we find that they neglected their post. They neglected their post. They were asleep. They just weren't where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to do. I have said for years, as I preach over the years, it's generally not what we don't know that gets us in trouble. It's what we do know and don't do. It's the things that we know we're not supposed to be doing and we're doing them. And the things that we know we're supposed to be doing them and we're not doing them. That's the stuff that gets us in trouble. No big rocket science for us as this group tonight. We know what God wants of us, but they neglected their duty. They were just offline. You know, Christians, that happens to us all too often. Could I hear an amen? We just aren't where we're supposed to be. I had somebody say recently, and I actually sort of bristled inside because they were somebody that was looking at our church, and they came on a Wednesday night, and they said, "Your Wednesday night was smaller than your Sunday morning." And I wanted to say, what church isn't that true of? We actually do pretty good. But we could do a lot better. There are a lot of people that were here Sunday night that aren't here tonight. And there are a lot of people that were on Sunday morning that weren't there Sunday night. And really, there's not a lot of reason why. It isn't like they were visitors. It wasn't like they got saved that month. They just were sleeping. They were where they were not supposed to do. They chose to have their priorities elsewhere. They got at ease. We could preach on that. They neglected. And we have been guilty. Let's not looking down anybody's nose at anybody else. We neglect our post. We should be soul winners. We should be praying. We should be reading our Bible. We should all these different things. And how many times does that go weeks and weeks by and very little of that is done? Amen? And so they were neglecting some pretty important instructions that He'd asked them. Well, somebody's calling me. I'm not going to tell you who it was. If I were to tell, they would kill me. Okay. I neglected my job, see? Okay, and it got me. All right. So the fourth thing that we see here, their condition was, it was an expectation because of their position. They neglected it, and He rebuked them. What? Couldn't you even make it 1 hour? I don't think He said it quite like that. I don't picture Jesus doing it. But He rebuked them. Have you ever counted on somebody? And maybe you said, I didn't ask you to do a lot of things. I just asked you to do one thing. You ever said something like that? And that's what the Lord's basically saying here. Fred, they're coming way early and they're making noise. As they come in, please, we're only getting off the runway here. They're going to have to wait. So he rebuked them. Do you know, we have preached how many messages, and you've heard people preach. What is the greatest thing we can hear from our Savior? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or just the opposite. We would just went through it with this past month. We went through stewardship. Depart from me, ye wicked, and out, you know, in gnashing of teeth. I know which I want to hear from my Savior. And I think the Lord knows our frame. It's but dust, and we can't do it by ourselves. So that's why you have the next verse. He's going to tell us how to succeed more often than we fail. So here we find his challenge to his disciples. Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here we find his challenge, watch. The word watch there means to keep awake. Isn't that interesting? Literally, that's what that word watch means. Open your eyes. Be vigilant. Keep looking. Doing what you're supposed to do. We can talk about that. I got thinking about where the Lord says to watch. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we know that. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. And he says, watch ye therefore. We need to be careful because we've got the devil that's ready to wait till we just let down and he's through the door. Watch ye. In such a time as ye think not. A second time is in Matthew chapter 24. I would go there. We preached on it a few weeks ago about Jesus coming back and his return. And he said in chapter 24, verse 42 through 46, he said, when I come back, watch ye, watch ye. For in such a time as you think not. And remember the parable that he gave of the story? Rich man went off and he left the people in charge of all the stuff. And they came back, they weren't ready. He says, therefore watch. For in such a time as you think not, and you'll be held to accountability. So the Lord, if we would take that word watch, we would just say, keep vigilant. Don't take a break. The Lord says that our time to rest is later. Right now, we got a job to do. I find Christians that have worked hard for a period of time, sometimes they get to be 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, they figure they need a break. Why? Why? Why do we need a break? I know this. I've read a lot of different books that some of the most important inventions and things done by people in science are people over 70. You're just getting warmed up. That's not the time to take off. It's the time to get engaged in the service of the Lord. Then, with much more, we could talk about that. Then he says, pray. And that word pray is the word that means, it's an emphasized word. Earnestly pray. And that's what Jesus was doing, wasn't he? So I'm supposed to keep vigilant, and I'm supposed to be really on my knees, earnest in this prayer business. What is the first thing that drops out of the church lineup? Prayer meeting. Do you know how many people I've had check our church out? And they said, you still have prayer meeting? They just can't believe it. I mean, an old-fashioned Bible study, people get on their knees, they really pray over stuff? Really? That is unbelievable. Do you know why churches have stopped having prayer meetings? Lack of attendance. We vote for the things in our church with our feet. We vote for Wednesday night prayer meeting. We vote for visitation. We vote for Sunday night. We vote for the fellowships that we continue on. We vote with our actions. People, Prayer meeting is the back lifeblood, the heartbeat. It's the preaching, the prayer meeting. These are the things that make a church. The other stuff is just external stuff. But this is what really makes our Christian life. So he says, watch and pray. Personally pray. Pray with your family. Do you pray with your wife and husband, your children regularly? Corporate prayer as a church. But he didn't just stop with those two. I would say too, he gave 3 points to his prescription. Watch, pray, don't enter into temptation. Don't step across the line. I can't say that most, I can't think in my life, maybe that's true, you can find an exception, but I know when I'm drifting across the line. And I finally step over. Do you? I mean, I know. I chose, okay, I missed a little of this, but now I'm just missing it all the time. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying. And I start drinking again. Whatever. I know when I cross that line. Watch, pray, that you don't enter in. That you don't. And I put down in my notes, we drift in often. We never intend. We get sleepy. And we don't pay attention, and we get over close to it. We get careless. We get further than we thought we would. It's like somebody's swimming, and next thing you know, they look at shore. Whoa, how'd I get this far out? And the undertow grabs them, takes them off. Satan is subtle. He'll lure us asleep like the frog in the boiling pan. Be careful when you cross a line. Your eyes open up, the line's there, you've gotten weak, you're asleep. Wake up! And pray that you don't cross over into temptation. People are always talking about having accountability partners. That's a good thing, would you not agree? It occurred to me as I was studying for this message, I don't know why I never thought of it this way. Do you realize good personal devotions is having an accountability partner in heaven? For God to rebuke my heart every day. If I need it, keep me on line. He's the greatest accountability partner out there. The last thing, God then gives him a caution. Your spirit's willing. The word willing is, it's predispositioned to do the right thing. This crowd tonight, our priest's disposition is, let's have victory. The Spirit's willing. That word indeed is in the Greek, it's on the one hand, is really, it's the word mende. It's a two. On one hand, the Spirit is willing. But on the other hand, the flesh is just willing. You can't turn your back on your flesh. I was talking to the kids in kindergarten. I had to substitute for an hour because Mrs. Leapart was sick and we were getting Mrs. Capizzo here. And so I got to go in and be a sub in kindergarten. It was fun. So we were doing some different things and up came this book and there was different things going into a tent. The dog went in the tent. The cat went in the tent. Johnny went in the tent. The goat went in the tent. So we went, meow, and woof, 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 and talk, 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 talk like Johnny. And then we talked about a goat and made noise like that. And I said, do you know what you have to be careful with a goat? You ever had a goat? I did. You never turn your back on a goat. I was bending over, getting some feed like this. And you know what goats do? It's exactly right. They got these little round horns. They don't just stick you. They just go, bam! And next thing you know, I was laying in the gutter. I just turned my back for a moment. My dad was standing there watching the whole thing. He said, did you learn anything? I did. Don't turn your back on a goat. How many times does the devil have to butt you down before you learn you can't turn your back on your flesh? I've got more. It's nothing new, all the way from way back in the Judges. We start good, but we let down. We had a really good month of January, and I think there are a lot of us that just, I don't know about you, my heart got extra stirred up this January. Let's don't let our guard down. Let's go win souls. Let's be giving. Let's see our missions go up. Let's build God's kingdom. Let's let our families come up for Christ. Let's keep my heart guarded from sin. The Spirit's willing. Watch, pray, don't enter into the flesh. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of this Bible study tonight. Help us to accomplish this. We understand it can't happen without your help. In Jesus' name.